You know, Christianity is really, really simple. Here's it. If you just really dumb it down to the lowest level, believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, by repenting and believing in Him.
Welcome to Truth Matters Church, contending for the faith one verse at a time. Connect with us at truthmatterschurch.org, and please be sure to subscribe to this podcast to get notified when new messages are posted. In today's message, we explore the believer's confession of Christ. Who we say Christ is matters, as many false religions have a form of Jesus, but deny some aspect of His fullness. Pastor Alex Cantaroja picks up in our study at 1 John chapter 4, verse 15.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. So that is the portion of text we will be expositing today. So with that, let's relook at verse 15. So John writes there, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And as we find in John's letter, a lot of his phrases, it has dual truths, meaning, remember, he is combating false teaching throughout this whole letter. So this whoever confesses is addressing that. But also, as we find in this epistle, that a lot of it is prophetic. And just kind of a little spoiler now, as we continue to plow this text, we're going to see that there are still some more prophetic utterances or parallelisms, if you will, in this text. So when John says, whoever confesses, as we previously covered, is homologio, and it means to agree with or to be unified. That's a good way to look at it. When we say we confess Jesus is the Son of God, we are in agreement with, we are unified in that declaration or in that statement, in that truth that Jesus is the Son of God. There's unity there. We are unified. And the root of all false teaching, really, if you really think about it, all false teachings out there right now, false religions, the root of it is concerning the person and deity of Jesus Christ. Now, some religions have Jesus in their dogma or doctrine, and some religions don't. But all false religions, they either disregard Jesus altogether, or they might include him, but they will diminish or minimize his humanity and or his deity. So you can also say that all false religions don't confess Jesus is the Son of God. They're not unified in that statement. They are not unified with Holy Scripture. And as we covered previously, you know, a lot of what John is saying is prophetic concerning the Antichrist who is to come, that he's been warning us about. And we know that when Antichrist comes, do you think he's going to confess that Jesus is the Son of God? No. He will come in the name of, or in the place of, Christ or Messiah or God. He's going to take that place. So again, that's why you can kind of see some of the prophetic utterances there. So in verse 15, when you're kind of keeping track where John is, he's differentiating between false teaching and the false Christ versus the true teaching and the true Christ. So whoever confesses in this verse, it's speaking of believers who accept the true teaching and the true Christ. So if you're a believer and I'm a believer, It's because we believe the true teaching, and that true teaching is concerning the truth about who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, right, who takes away the sins of the world. So believers, whoever confesses, we are in agreement and we accept Jesus as the God-man. So if you're a believer, you're a Christian, that's not up for debate. Jesus is fully God and fully man. If you don't accept that, then for all intents and purposes, you're not a Christian. Even though you might identify as Christian or you might go to a Christian church, if you do not believe and you are not unified or in agreement with Jesus as the God-man, the Son of God, God incarnate, then whatever confession you may have is going to show it to be empty. But believers are in agreement and we're unified with Scripture because Scripture declares that Jesus is the Son of God. And Scripture declares that Jesus was fully man and fully God all at the same time. So in a prophetic sense as well, true believers in, you know, if you're ever worried about, you know, are we going to, you know, if we are here during the Great Tribulation, and if we were to find ourselves before Antichrist, because true believers will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, if someone else claims or tries to take that claim that they are God, in a prophetic sense, true believers, we're not going to worship Antichrist. We're not going to worship anyone other than, you know, the Father and the Son. And also in a prophetic sense, and there's some peace and solace here, if whoever the elect is towards the end of time, they will not receive the mark and they will not recognize the Antichrist, or, you know, will not acknowledge or recognize Antichrist as God, because through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit, we will know and see that. Now, I know there are some verses out there, well, you know, that there could be deception, even the elect, if that were possible. That's different from the mark of the beast. Now, if there's teaching out there that you can take the mark of the beast and be saved, here is my comeback. Support that with Scripture. Support that with Scripture instead of just trying to explain things away. You know what Scripture says? What the angel warned in the sky? He said that cursed is he who takes the mark and worships the beast or his image. So all that is to say, true believers, the elect, although they might be deceived by some of the false wonders and works, they will not ultimately be deceived to the point where they will worship Antichrist. So therefore, in verse 15, John is really getting at believers, the elect, says that God abides in them and they in God. And what's interesting is, and we talked about this in many studies, John, oftentimes, he's alluding to his gospel. So when he says abide in God, if you were to look at his gospel and what account where abide is used the most, it is in the account of the true vine discourse in John 15. So with that, let's go ahead and read John 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus said there, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, there's abide, what John says in our text, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So in verse 15, John is, in effect, he's repeating the true vine discourse. He's just really consolidating it. So in this verse, when he says, whoever confesses is in agreement that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore is unified with the Father and the Son. And such believers abide in God and is a branch on the vine, and the vine being Jesus. Such vine, God, in turn, is in believers. So another way to say this, and God uses imagery. So the vine dresser is the one who cares for the vine. And the vine in this illustration is the Lord Jesus himself. And those who abide in Christ are likened to a branch that abides in the vine. So as believers, we abide in the vine who is Christ. And in turn, right, Christ and the Father, you can say, abides in us. Here's something that I didn't really glean off, again, as I read this before. The true vine, did you ever consider that's prophetic as well? Did you think just Jesus was just telling a story or a parable and there really wasn't going anywhere? No, there were some prophetic implications as well in the true vine account. So the true vine is also a prophetic warning for those who reject Jesus as Messiah, up to including the false Christs and the Antichrist, obviously, himself. So when in the true vine account, in John 15, verse 6, when Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, they being the angels, you can say, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So just know that in the true vine account, and that John is alluding to here in chapter 4, verse 15, when he's alluding to that, and John is looking ahead prophetically, so also this true vine account is also looking ahead. So the false Christs, the false messiahs, the false prophets, you could even say that even the false believers or those who believe them, Jesus is saying, if you don't abide in me, you will be cut off and thrown away and burned. And what do we know when you study the book of Revelation? When Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom, he takes the beast and the false prophet, and they are what? Gathered, and they are thrown into the fire. So the true vine account, you can also say, is prophetic, and he is prophesying to the false Christs, right? The false prophets, who, if they don't acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that they will be thrown into the lake of fire. So that's, in effect, also where John is going at in verse 15. All right, let's look at verse 16 then, shall we? We have come to know and have believed the love of God, which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if we were to keep in view the true vine account, we have come to know and have believed. The reason why you believe and the reason why I believe is because the vine dresser, the Father, has made Jesus known to us. And isn't that what Jesus said in John 6:44? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me drags him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we have come to know and have come to believe because of the Father. We don't believe because of the Son. I know this is a technicality there. We believe in the Son because of God the Father. And the Father, the Son, is just doing his Father's work, carrying out his Father's will, executing on the Father's plan. So we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us because of the Father. So believers believe. The reason why you believe, the reason why I believe, is because God the Father chose you and chose me, sent Jesus to save us, and that God's agape love is not only available, but it applies to us. And in one of our previous studies, we talked about the phrase God is love, and we're not going to get too much into it, but you can listen to that more should you choose to. But just know that that verse or that phrase, God is love, It is misused. It is not proclaimed rightly in balance, in biblical balance. So someone will like read God is love here, especially in 1 John. God is love. He says it multiple times and he says it again here. So, you know, if you do Bible roulette and you just kind of, oh, here, God is love. And you just say, yep, God is love. God loves everybody. First of all, that's not what John was saying here. He didn't say God is love, so that meaning that God universally loves everyone exactly the same. He's just saying God is agape. That's a truth. So that's who he is. That's part of his character. But really, God is love, as we previously covered, it's, again, not to apply to every human being, but really when John says it here, he's reminding believers that God is love. He's not reminding believers that God loves every human being. Remember, the vine dresser and the vine imagery, Jesus, and we are in the branch because the Father brought us to the Son and we believed. So John is saying, when he's saying God is love, he's just reminding us of the work of God in even our faith. And he's just reminding us that God is agape. And it's really agape to us. He isn't just agape outside. He's actually agape, and we've experienced it. And we are the objects of his agape love. That's really behind this God is love phrase. And sadly, it's used especially in evangelism. You know, you go to someone, you say, God is love. And here's my question to you. When did Jesus ever come out and say to someone, hey, God is love? That wasn't even how Jesus did his evangelism. That's not how Jesus, you know, preached or proclaimed the good news and his word. He just proclaimed the word. So just know that God is love is a reminder, and it's really a reminder for us who believe. So here's where John is getting at in verse 16. We believe because the Father and Son have revealed themselves to us. And our faith will show itself in our love for the Father and the Son. Kind of a rhetorical question. Can you love the Father and not the Son? And can you love the Son but not the Father? They're a package deal, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can even say they're a package deal. There are three persons in the Trinity. There are three personalities, yet there is only one Godhead. And the one calling the shots is God the Father. So our faith will show itself when we accept not only Jesus is the Son of God, but that he is the Son of God of the heavenly, his heavenly Father, our heavenly Father. So that's how our faith will show itself. So if we claim Christianity, but yet we're not really sure how to view Jesus and the Father, if you diminish any of them, you know, in their deity and Christ in his humanity and deity, then you don't have the real thing. That's what John does. But our faith, if we have the real thing, it's because we accept that the true and living God is the Trinity. And the second person of that Trinity is Jesus, the Son of God. So we also believe in God's love. And we are recipients of God's love, as I mentioned earlier. So where John is getting at in verse 16 is when we accept the love of God wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus, then that's another way to say that we are abiding or living in God, and God abides and lives in us. You know, Christianity is really, really simple. It's really, really simple that even a child will get this. Here's it. If you just really dumb it down to the lowest level. Believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, by repenting and believing in him. And then obviously everything else is just icing on the cake. It's just really more details and more truth on what lengths God went in carrying out his redemptive will and plan from creation and how he's going to wrap up the rest of human history. But really, Christianity is believing and accepting and trusting in Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So if we don't do that, then the converse is true. If we don't accept and believe, you know, in the Father and Son's love toward us, then we are not abiding in God, and God is not abiding in you. And for that group, if you diminish the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in any way, that that's not who God is, that's you, then you don't know God's love. Because if you knew God's love, you will know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the true and living God. So if you don't accept that, you don't believe that, or you fall short of that, then you don't know his love. And with where John is getting at, you're not saved. And that's what's really, obviously, really important for us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Truth Matters Church podcast. A very important reminder and distinction for every Christian believer. What we believe and what we confess or agree with about Jesus Christ, especially who he is as both fully God and fully man, has very important implications in our faith. But we can rest knowing that our belief and faith originate with God, and that the Holy Spirit works in us to confirm and strengthen our confession of Christ. Please take a moment and connect with us today at truthmatterschurch.org. We would love to hear from you. Truth Matters Church is dedicated to the careful teaching of God's Word, and if the Lord has placed it on your heart to support this ministry, you can do so at truthmatterschurch.org/give. A gift of any amount is sincerely appreciated. Please join us again next time as we contend for the faith one verse at a time, here at Truth Matters Church.